We have been walking our way through the book of Ezekiel, and we were in Ezekiel chapter 12 last week, and if you'll remember, in Ezekiel 12, we talked about how Ezekiel acted out a play, if you will, in front of the elders there about the captivity that was going to be coming on Jerusalem. If you'll remember, last week God had told him, make yourself a little bag, like you're just going to throw some clothes into very quickly, and walk out of your house and go and dig a hole in the wall and escape by night. Act like you're escaping by night through the wall. And then it was explained to the elders that basically Ezekiel was prophesying of the fall of Jerusalem. And the story that Ezekiel acted out actually happened not long after. And it happened to the king that was in Jerusalem. And he tried to escape by night. He had some military men dig a breach or a hole in the wall. And he tried escaping. And Ezekiel was acting that out, saying, this is the way it's going to happen. And it did. And so at the same time that Ezekiel was prophesying these things, there were some prophets on the other side of the aisle that were trying to contradict Ezekiel, that was trying to convince the people that what Ezekiel was saying was wrong. And what we're going to read today is God's response to the prophets that were withstanding Ezekiel. And I really feel that this is a message that was relevant then, and I feel that it's a message that's very relevant to us now. And I'm going to also further say that I was a little hesitant in preaching this, because some of these themes, you're going to say, Brother Wiggins, you've said this before. Well, all I can say is I didn't cherry pick this out of Ezekiel. We were in Ezekiel chapter 12 last week. This is just the next part. And it would either be preach this or skip over it. And I'm going to preach it. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter number 13. And we are going to read the first 9 verses. Remember, Ezekiel was living in Babylon. And he was at the same time that Daniel was in Babylon. And this is Ezekiel living in Babylon. And hear what the word of the Lord says. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy from their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe. And woe, I'm not going to go into it today. Woe is a very, very strong word in the Hebrew. Jesus employed it in his last rebuke of the Pharisees when he said, woe unto you Pharisees. You do this, this, and this. Woe unto you Pharisees. So here it says, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins of Israel. We're going to talk about that phrase. You, speaking to these prophets, you have not gone up into the breaches or built up a wall for the house of Israel that it might stand in battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen false visions and lying divinations. They say, declares the Lord, or thus says the Lord. They say, thus says the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them. And yet they expect him to fulfill their word. have you not seen a false vision and uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, declares the Lord, although I have not spoken? That's pretty strong language when he asks. Let me read that question again. He says, have you not seen a false vision or uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, thus says the Lord, or declares the Lord, and I have not spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have uttered falsehood and seen lying visions, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. That's strong language. What he is saying is, remember, the captivity in Babylon was going to be 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied it would be 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, they would get to return back to their homeland. He is saying to these false prophets, if you'll look at this last verse, it says, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. So in other words, telling the false prophets, when the captivity is over and Israel gets to return to their homeland, you false prophets will not be among them. You will not get to go. And so, if I can today, just continuing our journey through Ezekiel, I'd like to preach on this thought: false prophets in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful for your word. We know that we can trust in your word. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O God. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today. I'm just going to dive in here. And I was going to qualify this and qualify that, but you know what? I'm just going to dive in. Verse 1 and verse 2, when you read them together, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy from their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. These men were prophesying not from revelation that God had given them. These men were prophesying from their own hearts, from their own minds. And this is this message that Ezekiel had from the Lord was not to the general population of Israel. It was to the prophets, that they called themselves prophets and people looked to them as prophets. But what God was saying, the things that you are prophesying, I didn't tell you to say these things. These things did not come from me. They came from your own heart, and they came from your own mind. And I'm going to tell you without, I want to just go through these verses, but let me just go on a little one, just 30 seconds here. When you look at the day and the age that we are living in, and you look at all of the confusion going on around us, and we are not going through a cultural evolution, we are going through a cultural revolution. And things are changing so rapidly. And if there ever is a time that we need to hear from God, it is right now. And if there is ever a time that we do not need to be deceived and we don't need to be fooled by somebody saying, thus says the Lord this, or God told me this. If there ever was a time that we need to really know what God says, it's right now. And I'm going to tell you where you can find it. You can find it right in the scripture. If you want to be able to put your finger on it and stake your soul on it and stake the souls of your children on it, I implore you, put it into the scripture. Put it into the word of God and not into the words of some man that claims to have some special revelation. Verse 3, thus says the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They've seen this. God told me this. God told me that. And God's saying, you didn't see anything. And he calls them by a very strong word. He calls them foolish. And in our modern day time, foolish means stupid. Foolish means ignorant. But I would encourage you today not to interpret the Bible by our modern definitions. But let's let Scripture interpret Scripture. And let's find out what is a fool in the eyes of God. Because these were foolish prophets. And in the Bible, you're going to see that a fool was not necessarily somebody stupid, but the fool was somebody that was spiritually and morally insensitive and inclined to blasphemy and atheism. Let me give you Psalm 74, verse 18. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. So a biblical definition of a fool is not somebody necessarily somebody stupid, but they don't hold sacred the name of the Lord. And it says another verse, and we all have heard this verse here, Psalm 14 and 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. Fools are not, again, not necessarily stupid or ignorant. They are those that deny God and are corrupt. And he calls these prophets foolish. He likens these men would say, oh no, we believe in God. We do this. But what he is saying is the things that you, when you get up and you say, thus says the Lord, but I didn't say anything. When you said, the Lord says this, but God says, I never said that. In God's eyes, you are a foolish prophet. You are like somebody that is blaspheming. You know, every one of us here would like to speak for ourselves. I mean, Brian, what if I went to you and said, Lloyd told me that you, I don't know, that you robbed the liquor store. Again? Wouldn't you like to say, well, man, why can't I speak for myself? Why can't I speak for myself? You know what? God was saying, listen, you guys are saying I spoke, but I didn't speak. You're saying that God showed me this, but God's saying I didn't show that to you. And in God's eyes, that makes you foolish. And foolish, as we've seen, is a very strong, strong word. And I could go on. I have one other. Well, let me just say this very quickly. I'm not going to bother. Does anybody know that? Remember the story in 1 Samuel when David was out in the wilderness and he needed to pass through, and there was this guy by the name of Nabal, and he had a wife by the name, was it Abigail? Okay. And go ahead. I'll just dig my hole a little deeper here. Verses 1, 2, and 3. And it says that let's start at verse number 2. There was a man of Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. Do stupid people, generally stupid people don't get rich. Okay? If you see a stupid person that's rich, it's probably because he inherited the money. But this man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was or I guess I've always pronounced it Nabal, but I found out this week it's Nabal. And does everybody here pretty much remember the story of Nabal? And and let's just read about this. It says, the woman was discerning and beautiful. That was his wife, Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but Nabal, the man, was harsh and behaved badly. Well, you say, Brother Wiggins, what does that have to do with being a fool? Interestingly enough, if you go back up to verse 3 of Ezekiel 13 and 3, when he called them foolish prophets. This afternoon, when you're sitting around and enjoying this 103 degree heat, look up this Hebrew word. You know what that Hebrew word is? Nabal. Nabal. So the man that withstood David, the man that was arrogant, he was harsh, he was bitter, he was irreverent. Nabal, or Nabal, it's the Hebrew word for fool, for foolish. And God was saying, listen, you prophets that are saying that thus says the Lord, when I didn't say it, in my eyes, you're Nabal, you're Nabalish, if you will. Now let me go on to verse 4. He says, your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel. Some translations say foxes in the deserts. I kind of like fox a little better in this particular meaning. But I don't like the word deserts. This is a better word, ruins. Because this word in the Hebrew literally means this, a ruined building, structure or city. When you say foxes in the desert, you just look out, you think of some dry, desolate place. Sister Carolee, you were talking about Casper, Wyoming. There's parts around Casper that are very, very beautiful, and there's parts around Casper that are very, very deserty. And so you get this mental image of a fox out in the middle of this desert. That's not what's going on here. That the primary meaning of this word, the primary meaning of this word is a place of ruin. It is, in fact, let me just read it to you straight out of a Hebrew lexicon. A ruined building, structure, or city. Remember, folks, Jerusalem was about to fall. Ezekiel was prophesying that the city of Jerusalem was going to fall, that Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians was going to take it over. And he was saying, these false prophets are like foxes in the ruins. And I have not had a lot of dealings with foxes, but I will say foxes are mischievous and they are destructive. And if you've ever went to an abandoned building, when a building gets abandoned, does it stay empty? No. Animals will move in and live in the structure. In other words, if I can say it this way, he's saying these false prophets are feathering their nest off of you guys. They're profiting. They're going to profit from the destruction, like foxes in the ruins. And you can say, well, that was Ezekiel's day, Brother Wiggins. I don't live in Ezekiel's day, but did you know, if you look down the history of time, things had not changed even at the times of Jesus. Because if you look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, false prophets rose up among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Peter told his first century audience, listen, false prophets and false teachers were not limited to the Old Testament. They're going to be in the New Testament period too as well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 11, 12, and 13, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. This is why, church, we don't follow a man. regardless of what you've ever been taught. We don't follow a man. We follow the scripture. We respect the office of the ministry. We respect the office of the pastor. But we don't follow. Because it says that many are going to be led astray. And if you happen to be following the wrong man, guess what's going to happen? Jesus says many false prophets are going to arise and they're going to lead many astray. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And here's the scary part. Look at verse 30. From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. You know what? The importance, we're in the day that we're living in, is to be discerning and to know how to not be led astray. And I want to talk a little bit about how not to be led astray and what we can do to ensure that. But let's go on to Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus talking. And it says in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, beware of what? Beware of false prophets who come to you in what? Who's got a Bible I can borrow? Here we go. Okay. Do you have anything in black? Everything with black cover? I just have to settle for this, I guess. No, actually, this is quite attractive. I'm just kidding. It said, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravenous wolves, but they don't look like it. The book of Revelation even talks about John. Part of John's vision was he saw a vision and it looked like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon, spoke like a demon. On the outside, he looked genuine. And this is what I'm going to say, and I'm not asking you to agree with me. This is me. This is me. I'm going to tell you how I came up. And I know I've gotten on some of this stuff before, and some of you might say, Brother Wiggins, we've already heard some of this. But here's what me and Sister Wiggins came up in. What me and Sister Wiggins came up in, I can remember it being said to me, the pastor's the man of God. God deals with the pastor on what to preach. And when my pastor gets up to preach, that's God speaking to me. And that's what I was taught. It probably was never taught like that up here, Lord. And you're going to say, Brother Wiggins, that was never taught like that. Then be thankful. But here's the problem that I ran into. Yeah, it was God talking. This guy would go over here and pray, and God would tell him one thing to say to his congregation, but then 12 miles up the road, there would be another church, and they would have a pastor, a man of God, that would go and pray, and God would deal with him, and what he would get up and say, thus says the Lord, was in complete contradiction to this guy. And I'm sitting there just as a young man trying to raise a family, saying, what in the world? What can I stand on? Who do I follow? Do I follow this guy or do I follow that guy? And I cannot tell you the insecurity that it used to bother me. Just, man, am I with the right guy? And that's where I've reached in my place to where, Brian, I don't care if he has a Bible under his hand. Jesus said they would be in sheep's clothing. And I'll say this. Let me just say this. And this is some advice to you because you say, well, man, how can I not be deceived? I'm just going to give you two small things. Number one, if you do not read and study your Bible at home and get an understanding of the Bible, you are a prime target to fall to a false teacher. If you are completely ignorant to the scripture, and I'm not saying anybody here is. No. But I'm just encouraging all of us, don't let church be the only time you crack your Bible open. Because that's what so many people are like. The only time their Bible is ever open is when they come to church. And when if that is what you are living, you're a prime target to be deceived. And then secondly, can I hold on to your Bible first? I, you know, it's kind of growing on me a little bit, Brian. I kind of like this Bible. Let me tell you something else. And I'm not saying that I've got anything figured out. And I'm going to be very honest with you. And I'm not trying to be modest. I am not the sharpest pencil in the drawer. Okay? Anytime I have figured anything out, it's because it's never come fast. It's never come easy. And I've missed it the first three or four times. And then Sister Wiggins can, she's like so much more. And I say, man, why can't I just see stuff? But here's what I want to tell you. And you're going to, I know that you're tempted. I'm reluctant to say this because people are going to, I'm afraid that some of you might say, well, Brother Wiggins, the only reason you're saying this is because this is the way you do it. And Brother Wiggins, you're saying that if you don't do it this way, that you're, no. Can I just say my heart today? The way that we in this church teach and preach is called, are you ready for a word that you might not know the answer to or the meaning of? Expository preaching and expository teaching. You say, well, what's the difference? Many churches, the pastor preaches on this subject 1 week, and then next week he preaches on something totally different. And then the week after that he preaches on some other topic completely different. It's just whatever God told him to say. Are you following me? But here's the problem with that, folks. And I'm trying. I love you people. And I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be led astray. And I'm trying to, even if you don't agree with me, please listen to my heart today. Did you know? Okay, I'm over here. I'm praying. Okay. Yeah, God, what'd you say, God? Oh, God, okay, I got you. I got it, God. Okay, now God just gave me a word to say. I've got a word to say. Now, I got to find a scripture to go with it. Okay, because I'm going to get up and I'm going to read a text. And you say, oh, no, Brother Wiggins. He reads from the Bible. I know. But if you just grab a verse by itself, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to, folks. Are you following me? If you just grab a verse or two here and a verse or two there, you can preach anything you want and have Bible seemingly to go with it. I wasn't planning on coming on this strong, and I'm sorry. But when you teach in an expository fashion, where you go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, last week we were in Ezekiel 12. The week before that we were in Ezekiel 11, and we spent 2 weeks there. And the way that you go through, you develop one thing, and what's that? Any takers? What do you develop? Context. You develop context. To where, if I'm going verse by verse and we've got a context here, I can't just launch out into left field, can I? I am stuck in having to teach and preach what the scripture says, not what I feel. Not what my feelings or my heart is, because you know what, me as the pastor, it doesn't really matter what I feel. It doesn't really matter what I think. All that is important is for me to open the scripture and go through the scripture accurately and deliver what the scripture says to you. And I'm going to give you one bit of advice, and you can take it and let it roll like water off a duck's back if you want. If you don't want to be deceived, fall in love with expository teaching, where it's verse by verse, chapter by chapter, And you say, oh, but no, man, it makes church all boring. I mean, listen, we were in Ezekiel chapter 12 last week. That means we'll be in Ezekiel 13 next week. And guess what? Week after that, Ezekiel 14. But you won't get deceived. You won't get sold a bill of goods. You won't get sold snake oil. John, 1 John 4 and 1 says this, beware, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I'm about to bring this in for a landing. I've got about 5 more minutes and then I'm done with my rant. Okay. I like to poke fun at Sister Wiggins. I do. And she has learned to tolerate it from me. Can I tell you something that happened in our home about 3 weeks ago? And I had just read this passage. And I'm not going to name names. A name. Even if I name the name, I don't think there's anybody in here that would even know the name. But I'd been listening to this message. And I said, honey, I want you to come in here. And I said, I want to go through this text. And it was Jesus talking. And you remember it was that one, it's where he that falls on the rock shall be broken. And then, but if the rock falls on him, it'll grind him to powder. You remember that? And Jesus was quoting an Old Testament passage. And I said, let's read what Jesus said. Then let's go over to the Old Testament passage and read that. And then see Jesus' application to it, how he applies it. And let's get some understanding of Scripture. And she did that. Took her about 5 minutes. And I said, now, I want you to listen to this guy preaching here. Reads this text. And I said, now listen to him preach this. And again, if we was to take an IQ test, I would be here, she would be, you know, up here. And Megan's even worse. Megan makes me look like a fool. Sister Wiggins was listening. Yeah. Wait. No. Wait, stop. Back that up. Wait, no, that's not what that scripture means. That's not what that scripture says. And she looked at me just because it was a big guy. It was a famous guy. It was a man of renown. She goes, but Tim, that's not what that verse means. We're talking over 1,000 people listening. And that verse doesn't mean that. And he's basing his whole sermon on it. And Sister Wiggins says, man, how can this happen? I'll tell you how it can happen. When you do not teach and preach in an expository fashion, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't always get it right. And sometimes I might misinterpret a passage as well, and I'm sure I have during the time I've been here. But I promise you, I want to say this to you, and you can all stand today. And man, this might be a... Sister Wiggins, you go get the truck warmed up as soon as you get done playing. I need to get out of here, man. I need to go. I need to escape. I need to escape. I wish if Darius was in here right now, I'd tell him, man, you get me out of here. But I'm going to say this, and man, I don't want to sound like a bad spirit. I'm just saying that this is where we came to in Ezekiel. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, you've just got a burr under your saddle. No, we just got to Ezekiel 13 is all. And I think I am accurately exegeting these verses. I don't think I'm off anywhere. And man, I almost don't want to say this, but I almost feel obligated because I see so many people being deceived. When somebody gets up, and whether you be at a conference or whether you be anywhere else. Be nice, be kind, don't be ugly. But when they say, yeah, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord told me this, and the Lord gave me a word for this congregation. When you follow somebody that is just using the Bible to grab verses here and there, but really what you're following is what God reveals to them while they're praying. I just want to tell you right now, I've been here around 7-ish years or so. There has not been one time I've ever stepped to this pulpit and said, God spoke to me and God told me this. And you say, Brother Wiggins, that's just part of the game. That's what we believe. All I can say is I have seen people put their foundation in faith of that, and it's gone shipwreck on them. And the only thing that you and me can trust in is that red covered Bible that Brian's that I was holding. That's never going to lead us astray. If I can say one more thing. A guy I know, he had somebody come up to him a while back and said, Brother, I've got a word from the Lord for you. He says, great. Could you give me the chapter and verse and I could open my Bible and follow along with you? And that guy's like, well, no. I mean, God gave me a word. Folks, the canon is closed. And I know this may seem different. And I'm not asking you to agree with me 100%. But I am saying I have seen people be led astray. I reached the place in my life in which I can only trust the scripture. That's all I can trust, folks. I'm sorry. I've got to follow scripture alone. Sola scriptura. It has kept me from being deceived. Only the scripture. Only the scripture. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. I'm going to let you come down and pray in just a moment, but before we do, I want to reread my text. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy from their own hearts, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, says you haven't built any breaches up in the wall. Says they say, here we go, verse 6. They have seen false visions. They say, thus says the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them. Have you not seen a false vision and uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, thus says the Lord, when I have not spoken? You know what? The Bible does not bore me. And I know I can get instruction from there. And I don't have to worry if it's right or wrong, because I know I can trust in the scripture. Let's all pray today. Let's come forward for a few moments.
I wouldn't trade you for riches untold.
God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. I want to just say two things here, and then I'm going to run out the door. Two things. I don't want to seem like I've got a bee under my bonnet, and I don't. But I'm going to tell you right now, becoming a grandfather and holding those two baby grandsons in my arms has done something to me. And when I think of those boys growing up, I get on my knees and I pray. And I say, oh God, don't let them be led astray. Oh God. And again, this is next week. I've got something completely different out of Ezekiel. It's not going to be anything to do with any of this. So this will just, this, don't worry, this will be out of my system. I just want to give you one last warning. The little story I told about Sister Wiggins. And she said, but wait a second, that's not what the verse means. That man said, Holy Ghost sent me here tonight. Holy Ghost put this in my heart. God told me to say this. And everybody was wailing and crying and hitting the altars. And I'm sitting there scratching my head and saying, how does God speaking through you if what you are saying is not what that verse means? How is that happening? And for the love of my family, the love of my grandchildren, John said it this way. He says, I had no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. And that's what I want. Let's worship the Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. I love